Entry tones are on. Exit tones are on. Entry tones are on. Exit tones are off. Entry and exit tones are on. Entry and exit tones are off. All participants are muted, and they can unmute themselves. The recording has started.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, shall not perish, but he shall have, he shall have everlasting love. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. God bless you today. God bless you. We welcome you to the Prayer News Network Global. We are grateful always. We are so grateful to be here. It's another day that the Lord has kept us. It's another day. Amen, Jesus. Listen, he kept our bodies. We're here. He kept our minds. We had a mind to come. Amen. Glory to God. And we give God thanks and we do give him praise on today for this mind. Hallelujah. Can somebody say for this mind? Amen. So we're grateful to the Lord on tonight. We're just, again, so very grateful. We want to ask you to go ahead and invite a couple of people to come on in to be with us on tonight. Invite them to come on in. Invite them tonight. People of God, truly, we're excited for what the Lord is about to say unto us. Amen. We pray that you came with expectancy on tonight. And tonight, people of God, we just want to reverence, give God thanks and praise for our leaders. I want to thank him for my leaders on tonight. Thanking God for, as always, the late Apostle Dr. S.E. James. Thanking God for him. He was certainly a trailblazer We thank God for our senior apostle on tonight, Apostle Sammy Huggins James, and thanking him tonight for Bishop K.A. Tina. He's our presiding bishop as well, my pastor. And I just give God thanks and praise on tonight, thanking him tonight for all of our advisors, them each and every one. Amen. We just give God thanks. We just give God praise on tonight. Amen. People of God, and listen, we just want to let you know. We just want to let you know. Amen. News press just in. Listen, we're not going to have the in-person. We're not going to have the in-person third-year anniversary, which is to be held on next Saturday. People of God, we're going to go ahead and go with the virtual. Amen. We're going to go ahead and go with the virtual. And those of you that have certainly given, amen, Jesus, we will certainly refund unto you. Amen. But we just give God thanks and praise. Like I said, it was a bit much trying to pull people in from all over. And so much going on in the midst of us post-pandemic. But nevertheless, we thank God. Listen, we're going to be unified. We're going to stand together as one anyhow. Can somebody say anyhow? Oh, yes. So we give him thanks. We give him praise on tonight. We want you to help us to get the word out. Help us to get the word out that we are going to be virtual on next Saturday. We're going to be virtual on next Saturday. But we still want you to come. We want you to be a part of, people of God, we want you to be a part of the anniversary celebration. It's our three-year anniversary celebration. As of April the 6th, our three-year anniversary celebration. And people of God, God has been good to us. Truly, he's been good to us. And for this, we give him thanks. We give him praise. Again, if you've sent any monies in, just let us know so that we can refund it to you. And also, as we stated, if you would, help us to get the word out to everybody that we will be virtual and not in person. Amen. Perhaps we can try again for it on next year. Amen. Glory be to God. I know it would be such a blessing to see the faces and meet and greet the people that have been here with us all year. It's just a little difficult, yes, because, amen, people are resuming their schedules. Amen. They had timelines. People have timelines. And my God, that's not even to say all of everything else that's happening in between. Amen. But we give God thanks. We give God praise. We still want you to be with us. That is next Saturday. Next Saturday at 11 a.m. will be our anniversary celebration. It will be virtual and not in person. Amen. Glory to God. But listen, we want you to be there. Be there and be square. Amen. Be there and be a blessing anyhow. Amen. So tonight we thank God. Amen. People of God, tonight is our live night. It is one of our live nights. As you know, amen, Jesus, we have three long-standing lives. Yes. Excuse me. Amen. But we have three long-standing commitments. For men and women of God that have committed to be with us every Friday night, every Sunday night, and every Monday night. And we thank God for these people of God, amen, that the Lord has sent to this PNN. We thank God for them, amen, Jesus. And tonight, people of God, our speaker will be Minister Craig Cannon by way of Atlanta, Georgia. People of God, amen, Applied Word Ministries, Applied Word Ministries, amen. And as you know, people of God, he is an awesome teacher, and we're thanking God for the teachings that we're getting on the line with Minister Cannon, amen. So we want you to invite somebody, tell somebody to come on in and be a part with us on tonight, amen. Tonight, people of God, we want you to get your pencil and paper. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in. We just like to say, just come on in. Just get your paper. Get your notepad. Get your phone. Get your iPad. Whatever you take notes on, we want you to get them. Amen. We want you to get them. Amen. And tonight, people of God, we now will proceed to sanctify the line, and we want you to bring your hearts and your minds in. Bring in your hearts and your minds on tonight, people of God. Let us prepare to go before the presence of the Lord. And as we already know, we can't go any kind of way. So, people of God, we want to get our spirit right, amen, so that we can hear the voice of the Lord, amen, that it won't be falling on deaf ears. How about that? Amen. Glory be to God. So we bless God tonight. We thank God tonight. We glorify, hallelujah, we glorify him tonight. Amen, Jesus. Glory to God. So we're going to have our prayer, amen. We're going to sanctify the line on tonight. Immediately after that, we're going to have Sister Mary Hollins. She's going to come with our scripture for tonight. And then, people of God, right after her, we're going to bring forth our speaker, none other than Minister Craig Cannon of Applied Word Ministries. Amen. Glory be to God. So tonight, people of God, bring your hearts and your minds in on tonight. Glory be to God. Let us worship the Lord. Amen, Jesus, in the beauty of holiness. We worship Christ, our Lord. We worship Christ, our Lord. We lift our hands to him today. We worship Christ. We worship Christ. We worship Christ, our Lord. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is, and is to come. Glory to God. We bless the name of the Lord on tonight. We bless his precious name. We glorify him on tonight for all of his goodness, all of his grace. We do bless him on tonight. Glory be to God, for he's our El Shaddai. We bless him on tonight. Glory be to God. He's truly our all in all. And for this, we give him thanks. For this, we give him praise on tonight. Father, we bless you this night. We glorify you tonight, oh God, for truly you're our healer. And for this, we give you thanks. We give you praise. Father, we're thanking you on tonight for being our shelter. For when we could find no rest, Father, we thank you tonight that you became our shelter. You became our strength. And for this, we give you thanks. And for this, we give you praise. Father, we bless you on tonight, oh God, for being our divine covering. We're thanking you, Jehovah Nissi. Oh, God, for you have, or you are the banner that cover us. And for this, we give you thanks. We give you praise. Father, we're thanking you on tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're thanking you on tonight, oh God, for fighting our every battle. Glory be to God. We thank you tonight, Jehovah Gabor. We thank you tonight. We thank you. We bless you. We honor you on tonight. We're thanking you, glory to God, for you are our battle axe, and we glorify your name on tonight. Father, we thank you tonight, oh God, for you are our righteousness, and you are our peace. And for this, we give you thanks. For this, we give you praise. Oh, God, we bless your precious name on tonight. We bless your precious name on tonight. For, Father, if we had 10,000 tongues, it would not be enough to give you praise. It would not be enough, oh, God, to give you glory. It would not be enough to lift up your precious name. For in the precious name of Jesus, oh, God, we're coming on tonight. For you've given us your name, and we thank you on tonight. We're thanking you tonight, glory to God, for your great salvation. Thank you for your salvation unto us. We thank you tonight. Father, we thank you tonight. Glory be to God. We're thanking you for your cleansing power. We're thanking you tonight, oh God, for after Father, you saved us, oh God. You didn't let us stay there. But we're thanking you on tonight for your precious Holy Ghost that you put on the inside. And for this we give you thanks. For this we give you praise. We're thanking you, oh God, that you sent the Comforter to comfort us, oh God, to lead us and to guide us in all of our ways. And for this we give you thanks. For this we give you praise. Father, we bless your precious name on tonight. We bless your precious name on tonight. We glorify your precious name on tonight. Hey, God, we thank you. We thank you, oh God, for being Lord of our lives. We thank you for being Lord of Lords. We thank you for being our King, oh God. We thank you on tonight. We thank you tonight, oh God, for you yet reign. And we thank you tonight, glory to God, for you yet on the cross. And we bless your precious name on tonight. We bless your name on tonight. Father, for we're coming on tonight. We're looking unto you. You're our healer. You're our help, oh God. And for this we give you thanks. And for this we give you glory. We thank you on tonight, oh God. For when we can look to no other, we can look unto you. And we give you thanks. We give you praise. We glorify you on tonight. In thy precious name, Jesus. Oh God, we're asking you tonight. We're asking that you look upon us, Master. Father, look upon each and every one of us. Look upon us tonight in the name of Jesus. Oh God, look upon us tonight. Oh, glory be to your name. Oh God, look upon us. Look upon us tonight. Oh God, and we say, oh God, have your way. Father, have your way tonight. Father, have your way in the midst of us. In the precious name of Jesus. Father, do as you will on tonight. Have your way. Thy divine will. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Thy will be done in us, Lord. Thy will be done in the earth. Thy will be done in your people. In the precious name of Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, God, have your way. Oh, God, have your way. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Oh, God, tonight, tonight. Oh, God, look upon your people. Father, look upon us tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, cause your righteousness, cause it to be revealed in the midst of us on tonight. Cause your righteousness and your holiness, oh, God, in the holy name. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Father, we say on tonight, we said be exalted. Father, be exalted. Be exalted in the north. Be exalted in the south. Be exalted in the east. Be exalted in the west. Be exalted, oh God, in that precious name, Jesus. Oh, glory be to God. Father, cause your light. Cause your light to shine. Shine upon each of us in the precious name of Jesus. Oh, God, tonight, tonight, Father, shine upon us. Oh, glory be to God. And should there be any way, should there be any iniquity, oh, glory be to your name. Oh, God, tonight, we're asking you to forgive us. Tonight, oh, God, we're asking you to cleanse us. Tonight, oh, God, Father, we said purge, purge us, Lord God, purge us with hyssop. Make us clean. Make us white as snow. In thy precious name. In thy precious, hey, in thy precious name. Oh, God, do it tonight. Oh, God, do it tonight. Oh, God, tonight, tonight. Make every crooked place. Make it straight on tonight. Oh, glory to God. Oh, God, let us not leave this line the way that we came. Let us not leave this line. Oh, glory be to God. Let us not leave. Oh, glory to God. Higher and lost to God. Oh, God, but show us ourselves. Oh, God, show us ourselves. Oh, God, and make us, we pray. Father, make us over again. In thy precious name, Jesus. Oh, glory be to God. Father, cause your light to shine in the recesses of the mind of your people on the night. Oh, God, shine tonight. Shine your way. For you are the way. You're the truth, you're the light. Father, shine tonight in mind. Set free, glory to God. Set free in the bodies. Father, we ask you to heal. Heal to the utmost. Heal and make whole on tonight. In the name of Jesus. Father, heal tonight. Oh, glory to God. Heal and restore. In that precious name. In that precious name, Jesus. Oh, God, heal in situations. Heal in relationships. Heal in marriages. Oh, God, heal tonight. Oh, God, on the hill. Oh, God, tonight. In the valley tonight. Oh, God, do it tonight. Oh, God, do it tonight. Expose tonight the works of the enemy. In that precious name, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Oh, God, do it tonight. Oh, God, do it tonight. Oh, God, tonight. We're asking that to touch so global, Taya. Oh, God, touch the very soul. Touch the very soul of your people. Father, touch in the very soul. Go down in the very innermost of man tonight. Go down in the very innermost in the precious name, Jesus. Oh, God, tonight. And Father, we say deliver. Father, deliver and wash us tonight. Deliver and wash us by your word. Yes, Lord. Father, tonight. Yeah, God. Do it tonight. Yes, God, I most say God. Oh, God, tonight. Father, we cry out tonight. We cry out for the unsaved. We cry out on tonight. Father, save the unsaved. Father, feel, oh, God. Feel your people tonight. In thy precious name, Jesus. Oh, God, the work that you've begun in our very lives, oh, God. Father, we say yield, oh, God, we yield. We yield to your will on tonight. Oh, God, we say have your way. Have your way in us, Lord. We're thanking you for the perfect plan. The plan and the purpose, oh, God, that you put down in each and every one of us. We're thanking you on tonight. Oh, God, declared and decreeing. There shall be, oh, God, no shipwreck on tonight. There shall be, oh, God, no defeat on tonight. Oh, God, if it is, we give you thanks. We give you praise on tonight. But no weapon formed against us shall prosper. No weapon formed shall prosper. Hiya. Oh, God, and we're taking you tonight. We thank you tonight, oh, God, for you made us overcomers. Overcomers in every situation. Overcomers, oh, God, no matter what your people have come to this line with, oh, God. But we thank you tonight. Thank you for your overcoming power. Thank you for your overcoming power. Power to overturn. Power, Jesus. Power to annihilate. Father, to cancel every contract and every plan of the enemy. Power to cancel. Oh, God, every purpose, every thought of the enemy. And, Father, for this we give you thanks. We give you praise. Father, we're asking you tonight. Oh, Father, to breathe upon us yet again. Father, breathe upon us yet again. Father, set your coals of fire. Your coals of fire. Oh, God, set them upon us and stir up our very souls. Stir up our very soul. Oh, God, give us a go-ahead in thy precious name, Jesus. Oh, glory to God, that we may run. Oh, God, and not be weary. And for this, we give you thanks. We give you praise. We thank you for doing it now. We thank you. Oh, God. Oh, say God, we thank you tonight. Glory to God. We thank you tonight. We thank you tonight. We thank you tonight for your purpose and your plan being fulfilled in each and every one of us. We're thanking you tonight. We're thanking you, oh, God, for looking upon those that are sick. Looking upon those, oh, God, that are bound. Looking upon those with hung down heads on tonight. But, Father, we're thanking you this night for you're the lifter of our head. Hallelujah. We thank you tonight. You are the lifter. You are the lifter. Hallelujah. And we glorify you tonight. We glorify you tonight. We glorify you tonight. We glorify you tonight. Hey, we glorify you tonight. Oh, God, in all things we give thanks. Oh, God, for this is your will. Oh, God, concerning us that we will give thanks. And we give you thanks tonight. We give you thanks tonight. Cause your people tonight, oh God, cause your people tonight, oh God, to be stirred unto gratefulness, to be stirred unto thankfulness. And for this, we give you thanks, we give you praise. We're thanking you for working all things out working all things out, oh God, for our good. Hallelujah, for it's preordained and it's predestined before the beginning of time. And Father, for this, we give you thanks. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory on tonight. Father, we're asking that you bless the speaker tonight. Bless the man of God. Bless tonight. Ha, ya, ha. God, bless tonight. Bless tonight. Bless tonight. Cause your word to penetrate. Cause your word, oh God, to pierce the very soul of your people tonight. Oh God, that again we might not leave this line the same, but we can declare, we can decree that we are changed by your word, changed by your power, changed on tonight. Father, we thank you. Bless your speaker now. Bless him in strengthening from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Bless and strengthen him. Glory to God. Strengthen him in ministry tonight. Father, we do pray. Hey, glad haba. In the precious name of Jesus. Father, and tonight we say, use him. Glory to God. Have your way. Have your way tonight. Have your way as only you can. Father, and we do forbid backlash of the enemy. In that precious name, Jesus, we forbid it tonight. We forbid it as sons of God. We forbid it tonight. Oh, God, we thank you tonight. We thank you for the victory. We thank you for the overcoming victory. We thank you tonight. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ah, God, we thank you tonight. Oh, God, remove the scales from our eyes. Remove the scales from our hearts. Remove the scales, oh, God, from our minds. Cause us to see you and you alone. And, Father, for this, we give you thanks. We give you praise. We give you honor. We do give you glory. Thank you for your presence now. In that precious name, Jesus, have your way. And for this, we give you glory. For this, we give you praise. In that precious name, Jesus, glory to God. Amen. 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 On tonight. Hiya. Thank you, Jesus.
We give unto God, to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to Evangelist Bradley, to our speaker tonight, to the PN and Bob, to the PN and Prayer Wars, and to all of us listening and following. Shireen will be coming from Philippians, the fourth chapter, the fourth through the ninth verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Praise and be honored to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let the request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be in a person and there be in a faith, think on these things. Those things you have both learned and received, heard and seen in me do, and God of peace shall be with you. I have read to you Philippians, the fourth chapter, the fourth and the ninth verse. May God have a blessing through the reading of his word, to the hearers, and most of all, the doers of his holy word.
Praise God, sister. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Praise God. Thank you so much, sister. Praise God for the prayers. Praise God for PNN. I just praise God for life, you know, just being alive and just being able to just come before you all tonight on this line. I am so blessed. Praise God for everything. I want to just reiterate something before we get started right quick. I want to reiterate something that sister just read. Just, you know, God brought it back to my remembrance and just reminded me of something he showed me many years ago over in Philippians, right where she was reading at, too, and it was in Philippians 8, Philippians 4, verse 8, and this was one of the things she just read, and it just really blessed me. So I just remember what God had showed me in this one verse, and I'm just going to share it with you all right quick before we get started. Verse 8, she said, and the sister said, Philippians 4, verse 8, if you would turn there, look at it. I want you all to see something there. Philippians 4, verses 8. And it says, finally, brethren, And I don't want to take a scripture out of context because we know there are things before it and things after it, but I want to hone in on this one thing. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, God showed me this years ago, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise on these things, praise God. Think on these things. I want you all to underline that word, think. Think on these things. God showed me this some years ago. God just told us what we should be thinking about. Do you see that? God is telling us what we should be thinking about. Crystal clear there. He says, think on these things. These are the things we should be thinking about. And what are those things? The things that are true, honest, the things that are just, the things that are pure, the things that are lovely, and the things that are of a good report. That's what we should be thinking about. Anything else we should not be thinking about. If it's not true, we shouldn't be thinking about it. If it's not honest, we shouldn't be thinking about it. If it's not pure or just or lovely, a lot of lies out there that counter the truth. That's why we shouldn't be thinking about a lie. We should be thinking about what is true. And we know the one thing that is true is God's word. It's the only truth that there is. Let God be true and every man be a liar. God's word is the only truth that there is. And if something isn't honest, you shouldn't be thinking about it. You shouldn't be thinking about it. If it's not just, if it's not pure, if it's not lovely, and it's not of a, watch this, a good report. If somebody comes to you and says something about somebody, and that's not a good report, you're not supposed to be thinking about that. See, God has told us what to think about, and that's part of what God's plan is. He said, renew your mind with the word of God. He wants us to renew our mind. And how do we renew our mind? With this word. Well, it's interesting. In your mind, that's where your thoughts come from. The thoughts are coming into your mind. See, if you get a bad thought, thought doesn't line up with, if that thought is something that's not true, if that thought is something that is not honest, if that thought is not something that is just, if that thought is not something that is lovely, and if that thought is not something that is pure, and if that thought is not of a good report, you should cast it out and not think about it. The Word of God says, cast every thought down that exalts itself against the word of God and bring it into obedience to Christ. Cast it down. That's just food for thought for some of you, and that's for somebody. Some of you all out there have been thinking about some stuff that's not true. Some of you all have been thinking about some stuff that's not of a good report. Some of you all have been thinking about some stuff that is not honest or pure or lovely. But God said, I don't need you thinking about that. Satan attacks your mind. The thought will come, but the thought doesn't have to overcome. And the way you interrupt the thought is by opening your mouth and speaking the word of God. That's an application for you all, applying the word. When that thought comes, open your mouth and say, the word of God. You know, that thought came to you. Nope, nope, that's not true, so I'm not going to think about it. Nope, nope. The thought came to you that you're going to die. But the word of God says, by his stripes, I'm healed. So as soon as you get the thought about death, you need to open your mouth and say, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Jesus was wounded for my transgression, bruised for my iniquities, and the chastisement of my peace was up on him. And by his stripes, I am healed. Not I was healed, not I am going to be healed, I am healed. Already, That's what the Word of God says, and thy word is true. That's an application on how you interrupt the thought. Satan's going to attack you with the thoughts. He's going to take you and come into your mind and get you to think in some kind of way, and then you start feeling some kind of way, and then you start acting some kind of way, and none of it lines up with the Word of God. And that's what God wants us to think on these things. Praise God. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, for another opportunity to minister to these, your sheep. I thank you, Lord God, that revelation knowledge will flow freely, uninterrupted and unhindered by any evil, satanic, or demonic force. Dear Lord, I pray through my vocal cords, and you will think through my mind. And Lord, I pray that it be none of me, but all of you. I give you all glory, honor, and praise. And I thank you, Father, for this opportunity again to minister. I give you praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way in me and through me. Move down every aisle and row, every household, every phone call. Touch, set free, and deliver as only you can do. Speak whatever you hear the Master say. I am your vessel right now. I yield myself to you. I give you all the glory, praise, and honor, Lord. It's in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, praise God. I want you all to turn back. We've been hanging out in Genesis. We've been learning some stuff. We've been understanding who God is and how God did all these things through creation. We understand how God created man and how God created woman. We understand how God did certain things. We understood about the two trees in the garden, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We also understand where sin happened, where they ate of the tree and went against God. We understand the consequences of that. We've seen how God has announced punishment over everyone involved in doing and disobeying his word. And I think we was in chapter 4. If you would turn to chapter 4, I believe we left off at chapter 4, verse 8, where we are about to witness the first murder in the Bible, the very first murder in the Bible between two brothers, Cain and Abel. We learned last week toward the end about that word new, K-N-E-W, where it says Adam knew Eve. We know that word new means to have a relationship with, an intimate relationship with. So when God says, when Jesus says at the end, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, you never knew me, he's saying you never had a relationship with me. You never had an intimate relationship with me. You never told me about your issues, your problems. You never came to me for your decisions and giving you instructions and directions. You went to everybody else except coming before the throne and asking God, what should I do? As so many of us are guilty of, including myself. What should I do, Lord? I don't know what to do. Because we're thinking God is over there, out there somewhere, but I'm here to tell you he sticks closer than any brother. I'm here to tell you we got the Spirit of God. Those of us who are born again have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of us. And we can talk to God. It's like I'm talking to you all right now. We can have a conversation with God. Prayer is simply having a conversation with God. We miss it when we go and pray and we don't wait for God to answer. And don't think God's going to always answer the way we think he's going to answer. But he will always answer. We learned last week that just because we don't see things happening don't mean nothing is happening. I gave you all an illustration of how when you plant a seed in the ground and that seed grows downward before it grows upward, because it has to get rooted and grounded before that little leaf pops through the ground. That's in the natural. Same things happens in the spiritual. The natural and the spiritual parallel one another. Just because we can't see things don't mean they're not real. When was the last time any of you all have seen the wind? We know the wind is very real because we can feel it on our arms, but we don't see it. We can see the trees swaying back and forth. We see the results of the wind hitting the tree, but we don't actually see the wind. But it is very real. So invisible things can be real. So we go, chapter 4, verse 1, we learned last week, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived. She conceived, and she bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Cain is her firstborn. And she again bare his brother Abel. So she had another son, called him Abel. And Abel, we said, was the keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. Hence their names. Their names are defining who they are. Here we see their occupation. One is the keeper of the sheep, and one is the tiller of the ground. And we notice that in the process of time, they had to give an offering unto God. And we learned last week that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground, offering unto the Lord, and Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And we learned that the Lord really had respect for Abel's offering, but not necessarily respect for Cain's offering. We learned why is that? Because of one word, the first. The first. God wants you to give him the first. The first few minutes you wake up every morning, you should give that to God. God has allowed you to go another 24 hours. Not just give him any time. Give him the first in everything. In everything. In your time, in your talent, in your money, in everything. You give God the first and the best because he deserves it. His son died on the cross for you and me. He deserves it. He deserves it. Give him the first of your life, period. Everything in your life. Cain just gave him something. Abel, a keeper of the sheep, gave the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. Not only did he give him the firstling, he gave him the best. The fat part is the best part. So he gave him the first, and he gave him the best. That's what God expects from us. That shows him how much we really appreciate who we are, for his mercy and his love, his protection, his healing, his deliverance, his safety, his soundness. The first and the best. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shall not thou be accepted? But if you don't do well, sin lies at your door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And that's where we stopped at. So now we're going to see what happens as a result, direct result of that spirit of jealousy. Cain was not happy how God responded to his offering, and he was equally upset that his brother, how God responded at his brother's offering. And in verse 8, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and he slew him. He slew him. He killed him. He killed his very own brother. He killed his brother as a result of being jealous of him. The spirit of jealousy drove him to kill his brother. He literally murdered his brother. We just witnessed the first murder in the Bible. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? Now, wait a minute. God knows everything. God knew exactly what Cain was. God had already known what had happened. But he's going to give Abel the opportunity to tell the truth. Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Okay, there's a lie. Am I my brother's keeper? Really? Or even not only lie, but then he's going to, well, am I my brother's keeper? Am I supposed to keep up with it? What is this? Why are you asking me about him? Almost like a little attitude to God. It's so funny, man. He's got this attitude toward God. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood, look at that, crieth unto me from the ground. So that tells me right there that innocent blood cries out to God from the ground. Innocent blood will always cry out to God from the ground. Somebody's been killed innocently for no reason, just to be killed. That blood is crying out to God from the ground. It's crying out to God for revenge, for vengeance. I'm sure Cain's blood is saying, look, what? I mean, Abel's blood is saying, what did I do? Why did I deserve to get killed like this and to get killed by my own brother? Why is that? And his blood cried out from the ground. And so as a result of his blood being cried out from the ground, God says, and now art thou cursed from the earth. Now, isn't it interesting? His punishment was to be cursed from the earth. His punishment was to be cursed from the earth. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. So that innocent blood cried out from the ground. Abel's innocent blood cried out from the ground. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. And what is God saying there? Remember, Cain was a tiller of the ground. And now the very ground he tilled the ground so he could plant things. He was going to plant food, and the ground was going to yield forth the food. But now that he's killed his brother, in the innocent blood, the ground had to open up its mouth to receive that innocent blood. The ground is like, the ground's not going to yield anything to him no more. Because that blood is crying out from the very ground to God Almighty. Verse 12, when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. A fugitive and a vagabond. Wow. A fugitive and a vagabond. And Cain said, look what God said now. Verse 11, let's go back. And now art thou cursed from the earth. Can you imagine being cursed from the earth? That's like the worst type punishment you could yield. I mean, you're cursed from the earth. We know the earth in this case is dry ground. The earth is dry ground. God made man from the dust of the earth. That's that dry ground. And he said he was cursed from the earth. It almost makes you wonder with God, man. He's on the earth. He can't stay on the earth because the earth is cursing. He's talking about the ground, and the ground won't yield anything forth for me. Verse 13, and Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Cain is like, wow, that's pretty bad. And why do you think he said his punishment was greater? Because he was a tiller of the ground. His very purpose was now no more. Because his whole purpose was to till the ground. His very occupation was to till the ground. He made his living from tilling the ground. And if the ground no yields forth, he has no longer a purpose. Isn't that interesting? He's lost his purpose. So he says to God, my punishment is greater than I can bear. I don't know what I'm going to do. All I've ever known was tilling the ground. And now you're telling me this ground is not going to even yield forth anything for me. What in the world am I going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do now. What am I going to do? Oh, my. So God has cursed him from the ground, and let's keep going. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. Isn't that interesting? The face of the earth is the ground. What's on the face of the earth? The ground. See that? The ground is on the face of the earth. You have cursed me from the face of the earth. Remember, the earth is a planet. The world is a system. We talked about that months ago. Don't ever forget that. The earth is a planet. The world is a system. I grew up on a little song when I was a child. We should say, he got the whole world in his hand. He got the whole wide world in his hand. A lot of us confuse the earth and the world. They're not the same. The earth and the world are not the same. There's a scripture in the Bible where Jesus says, you're in this world, but you're not of this world. See, that's how I know the earth and the world are not the same. We're all on the earth, but some of us are in the world, but not of the world. See, the world is a system. Something's going on. There's a kingdom of God system, and then there's the world system. That's why God's ways are not our ways and God's thoughts are not our thoughts, because God's ways are higher than our ways and God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, because God operates in the kingdom of God system and we operate in the world system, especially those who are not in Christ. The world is a system. And the world is a system. Let's keep going. But thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. Now, why do you think he would think that? Why would everyone who find him shall slay him? Because he's been cursed from the earth. And everybody will know he's been cursed from the earth. He's not supposed to even be here. He's a cursed man. Because he's been cursed from the face of the earth. Well, everywhere he goes on this planet is the face of the earth. So if he's been cursed from everywhere, where shall he go? That's a harsh punishment. And everybody on the face of the earth is going to know it. If you are a Christian, there's certain places you shouldn't be. I mean, if you're a Christian and you really walk the talk. You really love Jesus. You really walk the talk. Not that you're pretending. Then there's certain places you will go that you won't be comfortable in. You won't be comfortable in that place because you know you're not supposed to. Well, here's what's important. Most importantly, everybody else knows you're not supposed to be there. That's what's so shocking. You're not one of us. You're not supposed to be there. When we get into the book of Job, you're going to see something that explains what I'm saying. You're going to see something that explains what I'm saying. But we'll leave that for another time. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever, verse 15, whosoever shall slay vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. Sevenfold. Vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord said, set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Now look at that. God literally is having mercy on him right here. He's protecting him. Because, see, if he's cursed from the face of the earth, that means wherever he goes, everybody's going to say, you're not supposed to be here. And they're going to want to kill him. They're going to want to kill him. There's a story in the Bible where a man, he was running from God. And we're going to get to that. And I'm just going to say it like this. He got on this boat, Jonas, and everybody knew he wasn't supposed to be on that boat.
And it makes you wonder, like, what are you doing here? He was running from God. It was interesting. Even the people on that boat knew he wasn't supposed to be there. And they wanted to cast him overboard because they knew he wasn't supposed to be there. See, it's interesting when God tells you something. It's funny how everybody else, they don't know how they know it. People in the world know it. If you walk in a certain place and you walk in the talk and you're a Christian, if you walk, let's say, in a, I don't know, walk in a place you're not supposed to be in. Let's say you walk into a strip club. You're not supposed to be in there. Everybody in there know you ain't supposed to be there. They may supposed to be there, but you're not. You don't belong there. Something about you stands out. You ever been around people who they'll be talking and talking around you, but they know something's different about you, and then they'll curse. They'll say a curse word, and then they'll, right after they say it, they'll apologize when they see you. Oh, I'm sorry. Why are you apologizing to me? It's almost like they know God's presence is there, and they have a fear, respectful fear of it. That's why they're apologizing to you. You don't know why they're apologizing to me. It may not even faze you one way or the other because you're not even, you know, you're not even concerned about what they're saying. But they feel the need to say, oh, I'm sorry. I apologize to you about that. They don't even know you. But they recognize something different about you. See? Verse 15, and the Lord saith unto him, therefore whoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. Whoever kills Cain, God said he's going to take vengeance on him. And so God set a mark upon Cain. God had to mark him, lest anybody finding him should kill him. Saying, you know what? You're right. You're right. You've been cursed from the face of the earth. Everywhere you go, people are going to be wanting to kill you. You're going to be a wanderer in the earth because you ain't going to have nowhere to go to lay your head or rest because everybody's going to want to kill you. And even he recognized how harsh that punishment was. So God says, okay, you're right. That was a little harsh. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to put a mark upon you so they won't kill you. You're still cursed from the ground, but at least you're going to just be wondering. Ain't nobody going to bother you because they're going to be afraid to bother you because when they see that mark on you, they're going to know that if they do kill you, that vengeance is going to be taken on upon them sevenfold. I believe fold is 10, so that's 7 times 10. That's 70 times. Vengeance is going to be taken on you 70 times. And Cain went out from, verse 16, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and he dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife. That's that word knew again. It means Cain had a relationship with his wife. Let's go ahead and translate. And Cain had a relationship with his wife, an intimate relationship with his wife, and she conceived. That's how I know it was an intimate, because now she's pregnant and she's about to conceive. And she bare Enoch. And Enoch built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. So she bare Enoch, and he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. So Enoch had a son named Enoch. Now, Cain's son was named Enoch, but then Cain's son, Enoch, had a son that he called Enoch. Let me see if I'm saying that right. Excuse me, I said that backwards. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city and called the name of the city, Cain built a city and called the name of the city after his son Enoch. Cain had a son named Enoch, and he built the city and called the name of that city after his son Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mahujal, and Mahujal begat Methuselah, and Methuselah begat Lamech. Now you're going to see a lot of things in here about begat. Begat is like birth, you know. That's what they're saying, There's a mystery behind that, and I have to say that mystery is this. Because for years I kept saying, I'd read through and say, this person begat this person, this person begat this person, this person begat this person, and you'll see that. But I'll get to that. There's a reason. It always says the man begat this, the man begat that, the man begat that, and we all know that a man can't have a baby. So anybody having children is going to be a woe man who came out of man. But there's a reason the Bible says begat, and we'll talk about that. And I'll just give you the quick and dirty of it is this. When a man and a woman gets married, God sees them as one. So Adam and Eve, God saw Adam. Even though Eve came out of Adam, God saw them as one. So when they say Adam begat, they're saying Adam and Eve had a son. That's what they're saying, but they're using that only you want to say male. They're using Adam because Adam, the species, is now joined with his male and female. Remember, male and female, the human species is both male and female. Together they begat, they had a son. They said begat back then. And unto Enoch was born Arad, and Arad begat Mahujul, and Mahujul begat Methuselah, and Methuselah begat Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives. All right. That's the first case right there of what people would say today as polygamy, two wives. And Lamech took to him two wives. Of the one was Ada, and the name of the other was Zillah. And Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. So Jabal dwelled in a tent and he had cattle. And his brother name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and the organ. Isn't it interesting how their names are defining what their occupations were? Same way as Cain and Abel. Jabal, if I'm pronouncing it, he was a dweller in tents and he had cattle. And Jubal, he was the father of such as handled a harp and an organ, musically inclined. And Zillah, the second wife now, she also bare Tubal Cain, an instructor of every in the brass and iron. So Tubal Cain dealt with brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. He's talking to his wives. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. Now look at that. There's another murder. He's slain a man and a young man. The man he's slain was able to get him to wound him, and then he's slain a young man to his hurt. So he was hurt by the young man, and he was wounded by the other man, but he slayed both of them. So we got two murders. Now we got a double murder. Now, isn't it interesting? Lamech is out of the loins of Cain, who was the first murder. So now we got murder happening within the family. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, and what's that avenged? That means if anybody kills Cain, remember God said, go back to verse 15, and the Lord said unto him, therefore, whoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. That's what Lamech is talking about. If Cain, I guess that would be his, I don't know, great-grandfather somewhere. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, then truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. Is what he said. Now, we it's something interesting here. 70 and sevenfold. We'll go back to that. It's interesting. It's of sevens. We're going to get into biblical numbers, or numerology in the Bible, because certain numbers mean certain things. You know, God created the earth in 7 days. On the seventh day, he rested. He rested on the seventh day. So that's the number seven. He rested. The completion. And I believe eight means a new beginning. And Adam knew his wife, and she bare a son. Now we're jumping back to Adam. Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and she called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. But God says, okay, Abel's gone. I know your heart is broken. The two sons, one son murdered the other son. So I'm going to give you another son, and I want you to call his name Seth. And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son. Now, Seth, and I was getting ready to talk about Seth's line of family. We just talked about Cain's line of family. We found out already there is another murder in Cain's bloodline. But let's go to Seth. And Seth, to him also there was born a son called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. That's very critical right there. When Seth was born, he had a son. When he had his son, he called his name Enos, E-N-O-S. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. So men began to call upon the name of the Lord in this second seed that came after Abel, the Abel. So now you're beginning to see a distinction in the bloodlines. One bloodline is a murderer, and it continues. And the other bloodline has favor with God. Because now Seth, his very first son named Enos, at that point he was born, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. They began to depend on the Lord. Let's go back to chapter 5 now. This is the book of the generations of Adam. Now we're getting ready to see generations. And I actually did this. This is interesting, this lineage. Because see, a lot of times we need to understand our family lineage to understand who we are. Day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him, chapter 5, verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him, watch this, male and female created he them. God created male and female. That's what I was saying about back in the first four chapters of Genesis. See, it's confirming to you that there's a scripture that says in the first four chapters, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And then we see it again right here in chapter 5, verse 2. Male and female created he them. And he blessed them, but watch this, and he called their name Adam. And that's what I was saying about that begat. See, he called their name Adam. What am I saying? My name and my wife's name. When my wife got married, she took on my name. So God doesn't see Melanie and Craig. He sees my last name. He sees Cannon. He sees us as one. Just like he saw male and female, Adam and Eve, he saw Adam and Eve as one, so he called them Adam. Adam. See, male and female created he them, and he blessed them and called their name. He didn't say call his name. Call their name when they were created. See how the Bible always confirms itself? So Adam, and why is he saying their name Adam? Because remember, Eve came out of Adam. So Eve was always in there. In his rib, God had to have the male part of the species fall asleep so that he could take the female out and create the female from his rib. The Bible is crystal clear about that. Male, watch this. Female, man, watch this, woe man. Don't you hear it? In that first one, male, and then the second word, female, still has male in it. And then in that first one, man, and that second one, woe man, still has a man in it. You see it? That's what God is telling us. That's a mystery that most people don't see. Holy Spirit showed me that years ago, and I'm telling you, that just blessed me because it clarified some things for me. Adam lived 130 years. Look at that. Adam lived 130 years. I wish I could get some of you all with a pencil and pad because I'm going to show you all something. Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and call his name Seth. Now go back to, I want you to turn the page back, chapter 4, verse 26, the last verse in verse 26. See what it says? 25 and 26. And Adam knew his wife Eve, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. Call his name Seth. Okay? But God said, she hath appointed me another seed. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. So let's look at that. Let's assure you, let's always let the word define itself. The word is going to always confirm itself because it's truth. It's the only truth that's on the earth today. So go back to verse 26 and you see where Seth is born, but then go to chapter 5, verse 3, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own image and likeness after his image and called his name Seth. So we know from right there that when Seth was born, Adam was already 130 years old. Adam was 130 years old when Seth was born. Now, this is after Cain and murdered Abel. But Adam's 130 years when Seth was born. And he begat a son. That's that word begat. Remember what I said? Adam begat. Now, that word begat means born, birth, firstborn, whatever. Begat means born. But we know Adam can't birth a son, but we know in Adam is male and female. Together, they can birth a son. So when the Bible says Adam begat Seth, we know Eve was the one who had Adam, but God don't see Adam and Eve. He sees Adam as one. He sees both the male and the female species together in Adam as one. He sees both the woe man, the man and the woe man. Remember, she was taken out of man. So God sees them as one. And that's why the Bible says Adam begat Seth. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own image. Watch that. In his own image. He begat a son in his own image after his, in his own likeness after his image. In his own likeness after his image. Where have we heard that before? We're made in the image and the likeness of God. You see that? We're made in his image and his likeness. So it's interesting. Right here in Genesis, Adam begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and he called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters, which means he had other sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. 930 years, and he died. So let's go back. If you got a pencil and paper, I want you to write this down. Write down 130, and right beside that you put Adam begat Seth. All right? And it says, and the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years. So that means after Seth were born, Adam lived another 800 years. So you put the number 800 under, and right beside that you can put Adam lived after Seth was born. Now let's keep reading. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years that he died. So now you draw a line under 800, and you add 130 to 800, and what do you get? 930 years. And then you say Adam died. See how true the word of God is? That's straight addition right there, straight out the scriptures. I took 130, I took 800, because remember, when Seth was born, Adam was already 130 years. And then after Seth was born, he lived another 800 years. So Adam lived 930 years, and after that, he died. Now, here's what's interesting. You're going to find later on, Adam's still not the oldest living man. Now, remember, remember, this was before. Think about this now. Adam and Eve. Adam lived 930 years. Adam was already 130 before Seth was born. That means somewhere in that 130-year period, Cain had been born, and Cain had killed Abel. Somewhere in that first 130 years. Okay, let's keep going. And all the days of Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived, you're going to see a pattern here. Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. So we're going to write down 105, and we'll just put right beside it. We're talking about Seth. Enos born. And remember, when Enos was born, if you go back to verse 26, chapter 4, verse 26, just one page back at the bottom, and to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. That's the Enos they're talking about over in chapter 5. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Enos lived after he begat, and Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years. So we're going to put 105 and then 807 right underneath it, right? 107 years after he begat sons and daughters. So that's Seth was born. 870 years, but he also begat other sons and daughters. So the Bible is crystal clear about these particular siblings, but it's not saying anything about the other sons and daughters, which means there were other kids born, but there's something special about these kids that he's talking about now. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. So look at that. So you got 105 plus 807, that's 912. So we know Adam lived 930, he died after 930 years, but now we know Seth lived only 912 years. There's a decrease there. What's going on? Look at that. Let's keep going. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. So now Enos goes 90 years and begat Canaan. And Enos lived after he begat Canaan 815 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. You guys see a pattern here? The length of life is literally decreasing from 930 to Adam to 912 for Seth to now 905 for Enos. Now, why do you think that is so? Because when Adam and Eve sinned against God, remember, God said, the day that you eat from this tree, you shall surely die. We learned that word death means to separate from, but it never means non-existent. You will always exist somewhere in some form. The body is going to go back from the dust to the dust of the earth from which it was made. But the spirit and the soul is going to live forever, whether it's in heaven or whether it's in hell. That's your decision while you're in this body on this earth. And I'm here to tell you all who are not born again, this is the only time you're going to get a chance to make that decision. Because once you leave this body, the decision has been made. And to not accept Jesus, by default, you have rejected him. So you're in a serious spot right now about making a decision. Keep listening. So you see the age has decreased. 930, 912, 905. It's getting lesser and lesser. Let's keep going. Why do you think it's getting lesser and lesser? Because sin has entered into the earth. And when Adam and Eve sinned against God, they started something called the death cycle. So not only does that word death mean to separate from, and it doesn't mean non-existent, but it also turned on this cycle, which means you are going to die. You are going to physically die. And God said, the day you eat of that tree, you're going to truly die. But they did. We both know they didn't die instantly. They didn't physically die instantly, but they did instantly step from God. They separated from God that day. And their spiritual eyes were shut, and their physical eyes was open, and that's how they knew they were naked. They knew they were naked. A lot happened when they ate from that tree. Things changed. Sin entered into the earth. And even to this very day, the Word of God says that all of creation is crying out for the manifestations of the sons and daughters of God. All of creation is like, man, when is this thing going to be over with? We was okay before they ate of that tree. That sin impacted the whole earth. It didn't just impact man. It impacted the animals. It impacted the whole earth. And you'll see later on when we get over into Noah's Ark, you know, God had told them they could eat plants, Adam and Eve and all that. Sin entered in, they could eat meat now. You know why? Because now sin has entered in. Everything is changed up. That's what we have to realize. So let's keep going. And I'm going to go all the way. This pattern continues. And I'm just going to skip around and show you what happens. Genesis chapter 5, verse 9. Enos lived 90 years after Canaan. Enos lived and begat Canaan 815 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years. And he died. Canaan lived after he begat Mahalalel 840 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days Canaan were 910 years, and he died. So he begat Mahalalel 70 years. And then 70 plus 840, that gives you 910, and that's when he died. So I'm just going to jump around and just keep it moving. Let's keep going. Let's keep going because I want to show you all something. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared. Everything is shortening, keeps shortening. And Mahalalel lived, after he begat Jared, 830 years and begat sons and daughters. So 830 plus 60, that should be 830 plus 65. And all the days of Mahalalel was 895 years, and he died. And that's exactly what you get when you add 65 plus 830. You get 895. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. He begat Enoch. This is a different Enoch. Not the first Enoch, another Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. So 162 before he had Enoch. And then he lived another 800 years after Enoch. 800 plus 162 should give us 962. And all the days of Jared were 962 years. And he died. Now, Enoch is interesting. I want you all to watch this, and this is what we'll get to, another mystery in the Bible. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God. Now, look at that. You see a pattern all the way in the scriptures until you get to Jared, who begat Enoch. Is born. It says Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. So we know Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 965 years. Stop. Stop right there. Look back at the first two numbers I told you to write. That was Adam. Adam only lived 930 years. And up until this point, everybody after Adam lived less than 930 years until we get to Enoch. Something's about to change. And all the days of Enoch were 965 years. Enoch outlived Adam, the very first man. Why do you think that? Here's why. God, Enoch walked with God. And he was not, but God took him. He was not, but God took him. Look at that. Enoch never died. I'm going to say that again. Enoch never died. He never saw death. See, everything God's going to do, he's already done. So for the people out there who don't believe in the rapture, I'm here to tell you right now, Enoch was raptured. Enoch was raptured up. That word rapture means to catch away. God took it. God took it. But God took him because he walked with God. God was so pleased with Enoch. Enoch was a very special man. Watch this. And all the days were 365 years. All the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. God took him. God took him. God took him. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So let's go back. Let's go back up to the top here. Verse 21, Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, but he didn't die, never died. Enoch never died. You see that? Enoch never died. But watch this. Enoch, let's go back two generations. Let's go back two generations. Go back to verse 20. Jared lived after he begat Enoch. Enoch's father, Jared lived after he begat Enoch. Father Jared outlived Adam. So that was your first signal right there. There's something special about Jared. And Jared lived 162 years and begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. 800 plus 162 is 962 years. So when Jared was born, he outlived Adam, which means God had birthed a special person in the earth, Jared. Now, how did God know? Even though he was special, he still died, though. God allowed him to be birthed in the earth so that he could birth Enoch. And Enoch was the special child. But God gave him favor by letting him live longer than even Adam lived. Jared. I'm talking about Jared now. Now, remember, Jared begat Enoch. God knew that Enoch was going to walk with him. That's nothing God don't know. This is that bloodline, right? The bloodline. Remember, this is the bloodline of Seth, not the bloodline of Cain. This is a special bloodline. All those generations going by, and I never, thank you, Holy Spirit, I never thought about to count them. That's interesting. I wonder what happens if I count those generations after Seth. I mean, we got Enos, that's one generation. Canaan, that's two generations. If you keep counting it down, it's interesting once we count down to Jared. Now, I'm going to go back and count it, but I'm not going to do it right now. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. So we know Jared outlived Adam. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Look at that. 365 years. Now, you might say, Enoch lived the shortest time. Actually, he didn't, because Enoch never died. Enoch lived forever because God took him. God raptured him up. So for people who say there's no such thing as a rapture, I'm showing it to you right here in Genesis. See, God declared the end from the beginning. He declared the end from the beginning. So I can tell you right now, this is a rapture. This is a rapture. This is when God took it. But God took him. Enoch walked with God, and he was not. He was not, meaning he vanished. He was no more. He was no longer on the earth. He vanished, literally. Stay in there. He's gone. God took him. But God took him. And Methuselah, don't ever forget that. Enoch is the first man to ever be raptured. God took him. God just took him. God said, you know what? I love you so much, I don't even want you to see death. You walking with me. You walking with me. And sometimes I wonder, I was like, God, why did you take it? Because, you know, Adam walked with you in the cool of the day. Yeah, but Adam and Eve sinned against God. God hadn't had that type. I'm going to say this, and I can't in the Bible. It makes you, I'm going to say theoretically, it makes you wonder, maybe God hadn't had that type of relationship with a man in a long time. And God said, you know what? Adam messed this up at the beginning. I don't want this to mess up no more. I don't even want him to stay on the earth. He's walking with me. He's fearing me. He's praying to me. He's talking to me about everything. You know what? I don't even want him to see death. I love this person so much, I don't even want him to see death. I'm just going to take him. I don't even want him to be a part of that death cycle in that earth anymore that Adam and Eve turned on when they ate from that fruit of that tree. I'm going to take him out of that. I don't want him to ever separate from me because he's walking with me. He's walking with him. God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years, verse 25, and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. Okay? So now we're going to add 87 plus 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Look at that. Look at that. Even Methuselah outlived Adam. Adam was 930. Now Methuselah lived 969. And before that, Jared lived, where's Jared? 962. So that's interesting. That bloodline now, their life reversed. Now they're living longer in this bloodline. They're living longer now. You see that? We went from 962. Now we went to 969. Let's keep going. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son, and he called his name Noah. So now y'all see where Noah's coming. I'm going to end this right here at the end of this chapter. Noah. So you see, Noah is coming out of the bloodline of Jared, Enoch, and Methuselah. See, Jared was the shift in that bloodline to coming back to God. Jared, J-A-R-E-D. It'll be interesting to really, I'm going to study it out and understand what the name Jared means. Because everything that came after Jared now was blessed. Jared, then came Enoch, then came Methuselah. And then after that, verse 27, in all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. Now Methuselah had Lamech, and Lamech had Noah. And he called his name Noah, saying, this saying shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord God had cursed. The Lord had cursed. So the word Noah is almost like a comforter. Who else is called a comforter? The Holy Spirit. He's here to bring comfort to us after that sin. So Noah was birthed to bring comfort to us because of the sin, the toil of their hands, because of the ground which the Lord God had cursed. Noah's going to bring comfort from that. That's why he was birthed. The God has a plan, and God's working that plan. And Lamech lived, after he begat Noah, 595 years and begat sons and daughters. 595 years. And all the days of Lamech were 977 years, and he died. Look at that, 977 years. You see how it went up? The numbers went up. Methuselah was 969, still more than Adam. Jared was 962 years. Methuselah was 969 years. Lamech was all the days of Lamech were 777 years. Oh, that's Lamech. Yeah, he died. So they went up in time. 969 years from Methuselah, and Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. He called his name Noah, and Lamech lived after he begat a son 595 years. So it's 595 plus 182 years and begat a son. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years and died. Yes. Now, I'm going to say something. We know, I'm going to back up, Lamech, we know that the oldest one before Lamech was Methuselah, and he lived 969 years. Now, we're talking about biblical numerology. We know God created the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day, that seventh day is a day of rest, that seventh day is a day of completion. And so the number seven is very important. So let's look at Lamech. Look at Lamech. Lamech lived 777 years. That's 777. God had completed what he was trying to do. God completed in that bloodline. His whole purpose was to birth Noah in the earth. And we're going to see later on, and I'm going to end right there, where we're going to see where Noah is the one that God used to build an ark to save all of civilization, except the ones that got, you know, two pairs of animals. We'll learn that about Noah's Ark, and that'll be coming up. But we see how special Noah is. We see how very special Noah is. And Noah's dad lived 777 years. That's an interesting. That's the reason God had him live 777. Then number seven is completion. Eight means new beginning. God created everything in 7 days, and it was good. He rested on the 7 days. 6 days, and then he rested on the 7 days. That's a day of rest, signifying he has completed what he started, and now it's time to rest. And also signifying that Noah was born and brought comfort to them from the ground. So now they no longer have to till the ground and grind at that because Noah has brought comfort. 777. There's a significance there. See, and I'm going to end right there. Next week we'll pick up with chapter 6, and we're going to start talking about what's about to happen with Noah. Noah's very special. But God had us go through all that bloodline. All of that bloodline is there. And, you know, people are asked, and I had this question for years, you know, when these guys were marrying guys, wait a minute, how did they find a wife, you know, when you're only talking about these two people? You know, I was like, God, wait a minute. And I wish I could go back to it. I believe it was when Cain killed Abel or whatever. And remember, we just read, and Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. You ever wondered, okay, wait a minute, where did Cain's wife come from? Think about that. We're talking about Cain and Abel. We thought they were the only two, you know, two brothers. And then, of course, Seth came along after Cain murdered Abel. Well, you got to understand, the Bible also says, and I wish I'll have to go back next week, I'll show it to you, but it's similar to what we were just saying when we were reading, and had other sons and daughters. The Bible is focusing on these particular siblings, but there were also other sons and daughters, which means they had other sisters and brothers. But in Genesis, God inspired these men to write about these particular siblings, these particular sons and daughters in chapter 5. But you notice it always said, and begat sons and daughters, which means he had other sons and daughters. So the population is growing. Population is growing. And that's where you're going to have a whole lot of people. So at this point, I want to go ahead and just end it. I hope you all have gotten some understanding. I want you to understand this. The Bible is true. That's the only truth that is in the earth. And as you can see here, God always has a plan, even when we think he doesn't have a plan. And sometimes that plan, a lot of times that plan spans generations. It spans generations. You know, Cain, it gave a little bit of history of his, and we could see that in his bloodline was murder. Because it wasn't too many generations later after Cain to murder his own brother that somebody in his bloodline has murdered a young man and a man, somebody in his bloodline. And then God doesn't go any further down to verse 25, and then he turns away from talking about Cain's bloodline or the cursed bloodline and begins to talk about Seth's bloodline, the blessed bloodline. Seth's bloodline was blessed. But God also indicated in that bloodline that that death cycle had started, which means man's ability to live a long time is decreasing. It started decreasing. And he showed us it was decreasing up until he got to Jared. Jared, the generation of Jared, began right there when his son, Jared's son, you see that, walked with God. That was the turning point. God had to birth Jared in there so he could get to Enoch. And you see, Enoch eventually led down to Noah. God already knew what he was planning to do. He's like, yep, I gotta get, okay, he walked with me. Enoch did. But God took him. Enoch, God took him. He was not, but God took him. And his bloodline is the blessed bloodline. And so I just want to say, for those of you all who understand this or don't understand it, some of you may understand it, those of you who are reading the Bible now, who are actually opening the book and looking at the scriptures and praying before you read and asking the Holy Spirit to teach you, he will show you and confirm to you what he's saying in his teaching. For those of you all who don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I implore you to come to know the Lord and Savior, Jesus. Give your life to Christ. None of this is going to ever make sense to you until you're born again. You've been born once in your mother's womb, but now you've got to be born again. And you, in order to be born again, you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. God loves you, son Jesus. He gave his son's life to die for you. So I ask you right now, those of you all who are not saved, who heard this message and say, wow, you know, this is all making sense now. I actually wrote the numbers down and added them up, and they made sense. I actually see what he's saying, that Adam, male and female, came out of Adam. I understand female and male. I understand man and woman. Wo means out of. He was taken out of man, which goes back to marriage. God sees you as one. In his eyes, you are one. See, the Bible is the only truth that there is. That's why I said, that's why God wants us to think on these things, the things that are true, the things that are honest, the things that are lovely, the things that are of a good report. These are the things that are true. Everything in this book is true. Everything in this book is honest. Everything in this book is lovely. Everything in this book is of a good report. Even when the bad things happen, God turns it for good. God allows certain things to happen. He doesn't necessarily always cause things to happen. He allows it to happen. And even like he allows certain things to happen in our life, whether we like it or not, if God has allowed it, there's a purpose and a plan in it. And sometimes we don't understand it. Sometimes we don't even like it. But if we put our trust and our faith in the Lord. And we're like, okay, God, I don't like this. I don't even understand this, but I know you know what's best for me. I know you declared the end from the beginning. I know you know all things. You're the Alpha, the Omega, the first, the last, the author and finisher of my faith. You know everything. Nothing is hidden from you. Everything is revealed. Nothing is a surprise to you. Nothing is a surprise to God. He's sovereign. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-wise. Otherwise, he couldn't call himself God. And we've talked about that. So get that in your spirit. God knows everything. He knows exactly where you are right now. He knew you was going to be listening to this message. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows the happiness, the joy, the hurts, and the pain. All he wants you to do is develop a relationship with him. Get in his scriptures. Get in his word. Pray and talk to him. Tell him your joys. Tell him your pains. Tell him everything. Because he already knows it anyway. You're not hiding anything from him. Just go before him and say, hey, Lord, you know, I had a good day today. Thank you for allowing me to have a good day. Or today was lousy, and I messed up. I did this. I shouldn't have did that. No, please forgive me. I come before you right now. Cleanse me from this unrighteousness. See, even Christians make mistakes. See, when you've given your life to Christ, don't think that, oh, everything's going to be good, lovely, doubly, and everything's no. No, you're going to get attacked full-fledged. Because the enemy hates it that you've given your life to Christ. But you stand firm on the word. It'll come, but it won't overcome. You stand firm on the word because God said he will never leave you nor forsake you. And you put him in remembrance of your word when you start feeling lonely. Father, you said you'll never leave me nor forsake me. I'm feeling kind of lonely right now. Be as transparent with God as you can be, and your life will never be the same again. For years after I got saved, I did not know this. I did not know. I got into the scriptures. I said, I need to develop a relationship with God. But God was over there, out there somewhere to me, even though I was saved, even though I had given my life to Christ. The these and the thous didn't make any sense. And then I got I heard a message on being transparent with God. What do I mean by transparent? Naked. Remember, Adam and Eve were naked to begin with. There was nothing hidden from God. So why are you going to try to hide something from it? You did something wrong? He already knows it. You think he didn't know that? You think he didn't know that? You think God can't see in the dark? He light flows before him. So just come as you are, pour your heart out before. Come as you are. That's what he said. Whatever's burdening you, come as you are. God, I messed up. I shouldn't have done that, Lord. I know I shouldn't have done it. It felt good, but it was not you. I let my feelings, this flesh, get the best of me. And I even know you told me that the only thing you're going to find in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Every sin is going to fall in one of those three categories, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's all you'll find in the world. Remember, the world is a system. The earth is a planet. God says in this system, this is all you're going to find. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what's going to lead you into sin. And eventually sin will lead you to death. But the wages of sin is death. First time I read that, the wages of sin is death. Wait a minute, you mean I'm going to pay my way to death? How foolish does that sound? I'm going to literally pay for it so I can go to death? The wages of sin is death. That means you're going to get paid wages to lead you to death. The wages of sin. Sin is going to pay you some wages that's going to lead you to death. But watch this. The gift of God is eternal life. So I'm going to get a free gift that's going to lead me to eternal life, or I'm going to get paid for my sins that's going to lead me to death. Let's see. I'm going to get this gift for free that's going to lead me to eternal life on the one hand. Then on the other hand, to come out of my pocket and pay sin, excuse me. Sin is going to come out of his pocket and give me these wages for all the sin I committed. I'm going to get paid for it. And what am I going to get paid? Death. It makes no common sense. You're going to go out there and sin to go to death? Or you're going to get some for free to go to life? It makes no common sense. And, you know, that's how simple it is, though. So for those of you who have given their life to Christ, and you want to give your life to Christ right now, bow your head, close your eyes, and pray this prayer. Father, save me in the name of Jesus. I need you to come into my heart, come into my life, and make me new again. I am such a mess right now. I'm a wreck. I got this going on. I got that going on. You've seen it all. You've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly in me. You've seen the things that I do that are wrong in your sight. I'm sorry, Lord. I hear your word. I hear this man talking about paying wages to sin or getting the free gift of God to eternal life. I want to accept your gift, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for giving me this free gift, Lord God. I know I deserve punishment, but he already paid the price. He paid the price for all the things that I've done wrong. I accept him right now as my Lord and Savior. I confess it right now with my mouth, and I believe it, not in my head, but in my heart. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. See, I can't believe it in my head because it doesn't make sense to me, but I can believe it in my heart that you raised him from the dead. And I thank you for saving me this day. Because you said, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I'm confessing right now with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Thank you for saving me, Lord. Thank you for saving me, Father. Make me new again. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. And I say to you, welcome to the family. Welcome to the family of God. Your life will never be the same again. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for all the many people who heard this message tonight. May you continue to bless them in every way possible. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise God. Praise God tonight. We give God thanks. We give God praise again for this word on tonight. Amen. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful word on tonight. Again, as always, just brought out so many points, things that you don't see. But we thank God for the reveal word, and how the man of God has come and point out those things to us that make us say, because we hadn't thought about it. Amen. But God revealed it on tonight. So we thank God on tonight. Thank you, man of God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen, Jesus. This word is so beautiful. Amen, Jesus. As I say, you know, you just find so much that you don't usually get. You don't usually catch, amen, with the preached word. But it all has its place. And we again thank God for you all tonight, Minister Cannon. God bless you tonight. God bless you many times over. We thank God for you for availing yourself on Friday night. People of God, he's here every Friday night. And we want you to always, as always, come on back and be with us. Tell somebody about the PNN. Tell them, tell them, tell them. Amen. Tell them so that they don't miss it. Amen. Not one night, whether we are having to rebroadcast or whether we are live, it's all good. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. Amen.
Again, by way of announcement, people of God, we want to let you know, amen, unfortunately, we're going to have the virtual 3-year anniversary celebration. We're going to have the virtual 3-year anniversary celebration. People of God, it's just increasingly difficult to pull people together from all over because, you know, the PNN is all over. Amen. So we, amen, decided to just have it virtually again this year, and hopefully next year we can do a in-house. There's so much going on, amen, in so many places. We want you to all as well remember Minister Ali Booker. She lost her brother, amen. She lost her brother this week. So we want to definitely be in prayer with her and her family. Just a lot happening, people of God. But nevertheless, we're going on in Jesus' name. Same time, same place for the three-year anniversary celebration. We're going to definitely try to do Zoom. We'll definitely do the call-in per usual. But we want to at least try to do Zoom for as many of our advisors as are available to be with us. Amen. So again, no in-person anniversary celebration. That's going to be on next week Saturday. We'll be gathered, amen, again, it's at 11 a.m. People of God, it's at 11 a.m. And don't forget, we set it early because we wanted people to have travel time. But since we're doing virtual, we just want to leave it at the time that it is. And again, it's 11 a.m., the three-year anniversary. We're not canceling it. We're just postponing the service. Amen. Glory to God. All of the information remains the same. So if you, by chance, submitted any funds for the anniversary celebration, just let me know and we will get those funds back to you as quickly as possible. Again, we'll apologize. Amen. We apologize for the shortness of notice, but we're trying to push it to the end to see what we had. Amen. To see how many people would possibly be coming. Amen. And it is quite a bit, amen, Jesus, to put forth and people not to show up. So we're going to definitely look into next Saturday. Don't forget, next Saturday will be the PNA celebration. Again, if you have submitted any money, we want you to let us know, and we will send funds right back to you. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And again, thank God for you, Pastor, man of God. Thank God for you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen, for being here.
Amen.
Because as always, people of God, let us look unto the Lord as we pray a blessing. Amen, Jesus, as they say, just point toward him. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because we know prayer goes many places, and prayer can do those things that, amen, we cannot do. Amen. Glory to God. So, Father, we thank you tonight. We bless you yet again. We glorify you. We thank you for your goodness. As always, we thank you for your grace. Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you. We bless you on this night. Now, Father, I ask tonight that you would bless him. Bless your manservant. Bless him, oh God, from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Father, we ask that you bless him now. Bless him. Bless his ministry, we pray, in the precious name of Jesus. Bless, glory to God, wherever he says to do, we're asking that you bless his precious name right now. Bless him, oh God. Bless his ministry. And for this, we give you thanks. For this, we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory for all things. In thy precious name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. People, God, don't forget you can get a copy of this broadcast. It's absolutely free. Just text us, amen. Send us a text message, amen. I would like to have a copy, amen, and submit your information to us, and we'll get that to you as quickly as possible. will get that to you as quickly as possible. Amen. So God bless you tonight, man of God. You have the platform, amen, for the remarks. Glory to God on tonight. Thank you, sir.
Praise God. I thank God for each and every one of you. I thank God also for just having the opportunity to come and just minister tonight. You know, it's been a pretty tough week for me, so I'm grateful. I'm grateful for all of you all who were able to come on this platform, and just to let you know, God is great. It's so important that we know the Lord, you know, especially when we go through something in our lives that's very tough. You know, God's peace is what will sustain us. I lost my sister this week, and I got the news, and she had been sick, and she passed, and it was tough for me, and I knew, I told my wife, I said, you know, if I didn't know the Lord right now, I would be going out of my mind. And, you know, I didn't see it as a loss, though. I saw it as a gain because I know where she's at. She's with us. She's in the presence of God right now. But she was saved. She had given her life to Christ. And I look forward to seeing her again when that time comes. But not just yet. So she and my brother both were with the Lord. My brother died last year, so this has been a back-to-back thing. So now it's me and my mom. So to God be all the glory, though. God already had prepared my heart, so when I got the news, it wasn't overly devastating. And I just, you know, I just began to praise God and thank him for everything, you know, for life, the life she lived, the celebration, and just, you know, just knowing that I have a Lord and Savior in heaven, that, you know, I will see them again, that they have separated from the body. And the Word of God says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so, because I know it's a transition from this life into the next. I mean, it'd be nice to go from life to life like Enoch did, right? Enoch walked with God, and he was not, but God took him. Enoch went from this life to the life in heaven. He never saw death. And that, you know, some of us will see that during the rapture. And other of us will have to go through death and the physical death and be in the grave and then get raised from the dead. So the Bible's crystal clear about that. But it's very, how should I say it, it's very enlightening to know that the scriptures hold true. And they brought me a sense of peace and rest. And I'm grateful. So I'm grateful for all of you all's prayers. I'm grateful for your listening. I'm most importantly grateful to Jesus who died on the cross for all our sins. It's so important that we make that decision while we are on this side. Because once again, after death, the decision has been made. So accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He loves you. He wants to take you to places you can't even imagine. And right now, all he wants you to do is spend time in his word and develop that strong relationship with him. And I pray for each and every one of you that as you go, continue to go through this life, that you will begin to walk with God as Enoch did. That means develop a strong relationship with him. And then there will be no situation or circumstance that you won't be able to handle because the Holy Spirit is always with you. And God said he will never leave you nor forsake you. You're never alone. And I thank God for each and every one of you. Father, I pray for every person that's hearing this. I pray that as they walk forth, that the words of their mouth and the meditation of their hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are their Lord, their strength, and their redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Again, people of God, that does conclude our broadcast, and we look to see you on tomorrow night. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, thank you.
This session is no longer being recorded. Goodbye.